I'm very sure that many of us here have some kind of recollections about Palm Sunday. So I want to hear briefly, what was your remembering of, how do you remember Palm Sunday when you're growing up? What's in Palm Sunday that you remembered most? Happiness. It's kind of happy, yeah. Mm-hmm. What's in the happiness of that Palm Sunday? What goes with that? What do you experience on Palm Sunday? You all remember that. Yes, ma'am.
Springtime.
Oh, springtime, yes. The blooming of the flowers. Thank you. And the changing of the color of the leaves. What else? Do we notice the parade? You all remember the parade? And of course, the leaves. What else do you remember about the Palm Sunday?
Celebrations.
It's sort of kind of the same as how I experienced growing up in the Philippines and understanding at first, on my first view, when I was still young. As you all know, my country was predominantly Catholic country, so they are very serious about the Holy Week. I remembered growing up, I've seen so much faithful Catholics making sure they wake up very early in the morning and they have this big, huge, not just this kind of thing, because this is pale in comparison to what they got. It's like made of banana leaves. They call it palaspas in the Philippines. So they got it, they purchased that, they spent a lot of resources and time. They wake up in the morning because there is an upcoming parade that they can march along the streets, racing up and waving those big palm leaves. And then after that, they go back to the church and for the priest to give the blessing and anoint or lay hands on those palm leaves. And what is very vivid in my memory is whenever they finished with the whole parade, with the whole waving of the palm leaves and the shouting of the Hosanna, they brought the palm leaves back at their home and they place it prominently at the front door of each of their homes, right in the front door. They just want to show it to the entire community that they have been to that kind of Palm Sunday experience. So Palm Sunday, as I was growing up, it was the happy moment. It was the parade. It was the entrance of Jesus. After all, it was really a big deal. And there were kids racing up and running, and some of them are being baptized on Palm Sunday. But is that all what Palm Sunday is? Is it about parade only? Is it just about the waving of the palm leaves and the singing of the hosannas? There's kind of tendency for us to reduce Palm Sunday as a happy Palm Sunday. After all, this is what we have seen part of the story. This is what we have read, what we have thought, what were preached from the pulpit. But we realize that it is not an easy thing. It is not just an easy to see Palm Sunday like that, because in our gospel text today, the Palm Sunday is really a doorway from the Gospel of Mark. It's a doorway into Holy Week, which is the final week of Jesus' earthly life. The writer of the Gospel of Matthew wants to invite us that it will not be an easy week. It was not an easy week for Jesus. And neither, certainly, it will not be an easy week for us today. He does not want us to portray a Palm Sunday that you mark up and you do a checklist. Okay, I went to the parade, I've experienced the waving of the palm leaves, I've shouted the Hosanna, and now I can go to lunch. That's not what the Gospel of Mark wants to invite us today. In fact, the gospel writer wants us to realize that today is both Palm Sunday and Passion Sunday. Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem will also involve an exodus, an exit. The victory parade of Palm Sunday will be transformed into a funeral procession of Palm Sunday. We begin with the crowd shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." And then we finish with Jesus giving a loud cry and breathing his last words. Today is about the glory of the palms and the gloom of the passion. Today is about a celebration of the parade into Jerusalem. And yet it is also the passion found on the cross. Amen? The Gospel of Mark gives us this kind of a dual theme. A dual theme that is embedded in our lectionary reading today. We find ourselves in the story of Mark's version where Jesus rode into Jerusalem. That is not a mini Easter type of celebration. In fact, it was more like a ragtag parade than a grand procession. Here in this gospel, we see this within the backdrop of fear and somberness. Did you know that the disciples were a bit reluctant following Jesus on that road to Jerusalem? They feared because Jesus had told them several times that Jerusalem would be a place of his death. In other words, Mark's gospel of Palm Sunday is more than what we probably have thought of. As I've said, it's a doorway to Jesus' final week. And it will not be an easy week for Jesus. And certainly, it will not be an easy week for us as we retrace the footsteps of Jesus this coming days to come. I wonder what that means to us today. When we begin to realize that Palm Sunday is not just a victory parade, but it's also a funeral procession. Have you been to a funeral procession, church? It's not an easy. Because we come to the grip of the reality of loss and grief and pain and suffering, of abandonment. That's the dual theme today. On the one hand, we witness Jesus coming into this final climax of all the things that God had done through him on this earthly life as beginning to enter now into the gates, witnessed by so many people. Perhaps most of them are people that he had touched. With the outpouring recognition. And this is one of the last links in the chain that leads towards the final event. And Jesus here steps into the limelight to highlight and draw people's attention to the enactment of the most important event in the Christian history. His death and eventually his resurrection. Amen? Jesus chose to endure suffering and death for us. And what is really interesting about this text, this particular gospel version of this Palm Sunday, is the line in which Mark uses after all the Hosanna has been shouted and sung. And that is found on verse 11. If you happen to have your Bible with you, I want us to open again on verse 11. I'm going to read this again for the sake of our conversation this morning. It's found on Mark again. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And this is after all the shouting of the Hosanna, after the waving of the palm leaves and the donkey and the colt, the cloak. Here's what Jesus did. He went into the temple. And what did he do? What happened there? He looked around at everything. Look around at everything. Let me stop there, church. Did you know that no other gospel account described this? It is only in the Gospel of Mark that you can find the description of Jesus looking around on Palm Sunday. The Palm Sunday is recorded in all the four synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But only in Mark you will find that he looked around at everything. He looked for the opportunity to look around at everything. In Matthew's account of this gospel, Jesus immediately enters and cleanses the temple, driving out those who bought and sold and overturning the money changer's table. You remember that story? I preached about that 2 weeks ago. That was the last part of that story in Matthew's account. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus sees the city of Jerusalem and he weeps over it. That was the last part of that story. And in the Gospel of John, it's not even clear if Jesus even enters the temple. Instead, Jesus here focused on teaching about the grain of wheat that falls into the ground and dies. And that was the basis of God's word last Sunday. But here in the Gospel of Mark, the way the writer described Palm Sunday, the end of the Palm Sunday, is that Jesus enters back into Jerusalem, into the temple, and looks around at everything. You and I perhaps will wonder what Jesus saw when he looked around at everything. The writer did not give a full description of what he saw. He did not articulate on that. Perhaps Jesus see the street of where he would meet with his disciples in the upper room and break bread with them. Perhaps Jesus sees the path from there that he would stumble a few days after, bound in chains, bloodied, stripped, shoved by soldiers to the house of the high priest for his illegal trial. Perhaps Jesus looked around and he saw people that he had touched. Perhaps he saw Zacchaeus. Perhaps he saw Nicodemus, the woman of the Samaria, people that have received the bread and the fish that he multiplied, Lazarus that he resurrected from the grave, all of the people that he had touched. Not only that, perhaps when he looked around at everything, he saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees as well, right? Those who are conniving have the sinister eyes trying to pin down this man called Jesus, finding ways to put all the blame to him. Perhaps he saw the soldiers, those instruments of the Roman authorities to persecute the people. And perhaps he saw the disciples who are in a way anxious and have somehow had fear already, knowing that the trouble is yet to unfold, that at some point Jesus will die right there in the heart of Jerusalem. Look around at everything. That's what Jesus did. I wonder what Jesus meant by that. Perhaps when Jesus entered the temple and looked around at everything, he was looking at the very hearts of the people that he saw. And isn't that what this Holy Week should be, church? Perhaps we are called and challenged to look around at our lives. Perhaps we are challenged to look around at everything in us. Our messiness, our filthiness, our limitations. Perhaps we are called to look around at our sins, things that we have done and left undone. Perhaps God is inviting us to look at our regrets, our pains, and our fears, things that overwhelms our lives, that drowned us, even to the point that we are escaping from it. Perhaps God wants us to look around of the things that we are dying in our lives. Part of our lives that are dying. Where is our lives overcome by darkness? See, Jesus looked around at everything because he looked around at the hearts of the people. But it's not just that he looked around and left together with the disciples and went back to Bethany. Because the same Jesus wants to carry everything with him when he go back. I wonder if this looking around also means that he is concerned about who's going to be with him up to the cross. And who will be shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him," later on the week. Church, this week, I pray that you will join with me in reclaiming the meaning of Palm Sunday. That this is not just the nice Palm Sunday that we always thought of. This is not just a happy Palm Sunday that involves the parade and the procession and the waving of the palm leaves. But really, this is a Passion Sunday. A journey of death procession that leads Jesus to the ultimate sacrifice of all because of his great love for you and for me. May we embrace the fullness of God's story as we enter into this holy week. Let us pray. Forgive us, Father God, because there are a lot of times that we see this day as a nice Palm Sunday, a happy Palm Sunday that's filled with joy. But looming into the horizon, from the words of the Gospel of Mark, you called us into an understanding that Palm Sunday is also a Passion Sunday. That in the midst of that victory parade comes the funeral procession. Help us to understand that deeply, O God. May we look around at everything, even into the very hearts of our soul, our purpose, our calling, as to why we are here in this world. May we journey with you for the rest of this week as we relive again your passion, your death, and your eventual resurrection. As we consider our own lives and how we may respond, walking the path of love for you and for each other. For it is in the name of Jesus that we pray, and all God's people said, Amen.